values you have to have. Like that. Parent has his own values, therefore he's running his life. Like that. But he's under the impression that the kid will take my values. Like that. They may or may not. If there's a good relationship, yes. If not, then they'll take their own values. Because you have to see is what is that parent's relationship with their authorities. Right? Parent is authority. Or parent then there's the emotional. What is their relationship with their authorities, their seniors? Right? Are they independent? Their mood is I'm independent. Then their kid will be independent. But their thinking is I'm going to be independent, but my kid will be independent like me of these people, but not of me. No. It means it's parampara. I'm independent from my authority. They're independent from here. Their kids will be independent from them. Like that. So they misjudge how it's going to work. You know? Like that. So the kid does come out like the parents.
That's scary. That's the scary part.
You have to look at yourself. What are my good qualities? What are the bad qualities? And then you look to see, are those in the kid? So if they're in the kid, then the first thing is how to get rid of them myself. And if you can do that, you can get rid of them in the kid. Like that. So that's
the missing link a lot of parents choose to ignore. You have to get rid of it here first.
Because it's very painful. That's the thing, is when you get down to the starkness of the reality of material existence and interaction, it's a fine science. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like anything you do, like cooking, it's a fine science. You do it right, it comes out wonderful. You don't do it right, it's bad. You don't put the right amount of salt, it's terrible. Like that. So that's the thing, is it doesn't have the freedom like that. The Bhagavad has the freedom. It's right, it comes out wonderful. You don't do it right, it's bad. You don't put the right amount of salt, it's terrible. Like that. So that's the thing, is it doesn't have the freedom like that. The Bhagavad has the freedom. But you're not dealing with material. With that. It's dealing with spiritual emotion. But material emotion, unless it's in line with how Krishna says that emotion should be expressed. You have the emotion, that's fine. There's no problem with the emotion. Like this, or anger. Anger is not the problem. It's who you direct the anger at and under what situation and how you do it. That's the thing. Right? Like somebody's coming and, you know, trying to, you know, take your car. So then anger can be applied. But something like this, but you have to know where. So the problem is not the emotion, it's how to apply it. So that's religion. Is to know what's the religion of anger. What's the religion of application? You know, how does that religion become modified by touching the religion of the other object? Like that. You know, so like that one needs to know that's science. Like that. So it's gained by associate, by hearing, by contemplating, by association, by practicing it, by seeing others, you know, hearing of others. That's why the stories in the Bhagavatam that are important in this age. Like that, the Puranas are more important than the Vedas, because the Vedas, they would contemplate it from the point of intellectual all the way down to practically applied. So they could just hear the point and apply it. But in this age, you need the example. Therefore, we see the example of everything. You know, how someone's a good brahmachari, right? You see that, Priyavrata or Kardama. How a good brahmachari gets married, Kardama marrying Dr. Devahuti. How it was all arranged, what were the considerations, what was the mentality of him, you know, approaching the Lord, what was the mentality what was the name? Swayambhuva Manu, dealing with his wife and daughter so that they're satisfied with the arrangements. What's the mentality of the daughter towards the prospective husband? You know, that what she looked for, she didn't say, you know, this guy's a hunk, so I want to marry him. She looked at the qualities, right? He was, you know, he was religious, he was, you know, really had good qualities. So therefore, she was attracted. She was saying, that man should be my husband. Right? Because he'll take care and they'll have good children. So therefore, the whole religion of Grihastha life will run smoothly with such a husband. So that was her consideration. Like that. Then how Kardama and Swayambhuva relate to each other, because one's a Brahmin, one's a Kshatriya. Now in here you have a dual thing. He's the son-in-law, so he's junior to the father-in-law. But he's the Brahmin, and so he's senior to the father-in-law, who's a Kshatriya. Therefore, You have to balance all that. Between Brahman and Kshatriya, one supina, as son-in-law, father-in-law, then it's the other. So they have to be able to accommodate a dual consideration at one point, at the same time. So they, you see, they have mutual respect for each other. Like that, because they have things that are mutually to be respected by each other. Like that. So therefore, you see all this, and all this is happening. That, how he deals with his wife. Right? First he tests, because he doesn't know her. He's heard about her. Everyone recommends she's good. Now he's going to see himself. Right? No use having a son from a bad wife. Right? So therefore, he checks. Then he sees the wife is good. Like that. Her attitude of chastity is good, because then that will go to the child. Like that. Because the mother's the first guru. Like that. So all the principles of religion and all these basic, fundamental, unconscious things in the child is gained from the mother. Father starts to bring out to make it conscious. He can't fully do it. The teacher can bring it fully out. Right? But the mother on the girls can put in the foundation and bring out the detail with the support of the father. But with the boys, it's slightly different. So then she sees that. Then, like that, because she's a princess, he's a Brahmin, he lives under a tree. No problem. So he's been living under a tree because she's a princess, she's married a Brahmin. She wants to be a Brahmin. Marry a Brahmin, then you have to live like one. So she tests it. She does it. No problem. No bad in any way. Then, because of that, because he has the power to do it, means if he didn't, he'd just continue living like a Brahmin. You know, the facilities of the Brahmin, because he had the mystic potency, therefore, because she's a princess, he created for her a traveling palace. So wonderful, you can go see everything. You know, women like to go around and see and this and that, but at the same time, you want your own facilities, so you can't have anything better than your own flying palace. You think about it, it's like the perfection of what any woman wants.
The original mobile phone.
Yeah. With wings on it, yeah. Oh. So then, therefore, then that works. It works nicely. So he did that because she's a princess. Like that. So like this, we see the whole attitude. You know?
If you say that boys should be trained by a guru when they're five or so. So, and you said the mother's the guru.
She's the first guru.
First guru.
So father's the second, but the teacher's then the third.
For girls, since they don't go to Gurukula, is it the mother's responsibility to teach them chastity and
But it's supported by the father, so he puts a lot of input. The detail he doesn't get into. So he gets into the emotional side of to bring it out and give the support and give that trust and affection. So that's there, because if that's not there, then the mind is not peaceful. The mind is peaceful when there's regulation, there's stability, you know, like that. And so, and the environment, you have that emotional environment, then it's stable, like that. So because that's the woman's platform. So then, therefore, you have to consider the nature of the mind if you want to be able to deal and the needs of women. Like that. That's what you know. Like that.
So it's the home is where girls should be taught chastity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so the mother deals with most of it. The father gives backup of that. You know, he's like the authority, but the mother is the one who. So she can chastise. The father is kind. Well, with the son, it's the other way around. The mother's kind, the father chastises. You know, so it works very, very, very nicely.
What if you don't have a community, or like, you know, in the Western society where the girls are taught to run around half dressed?
They have to learn what that means, because the girls that do that generally don't know who they are. They don't know what is the feminine nature. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. I mean, they're screwing themselves up, because the first boy works. There's full trust, affection, and everything like that. The second one kind of works. The third one doesn't really work. And after that, so you forget it. Like that. Unless the guy's so special that over years he can draw that back out of her. But it will be very difficult. So that's the nature, is that, you know, the heart is soft, so it's given. But if it's dealt with wrongly, then it's pulled back in. And you don't want pain. The mind doesn't want pain. The soul doesn't want pain. So therefore, it's intensified in the women. You know, same with the boys. It means that they can somehow know the handle if something happens with the, they could go on, you know. But the girl, it's emotionally devastating. Therefore, they become hard.
That's why dating.
It just makes them hard. That's why you see these tough girls, because because that. But if you ask any of those tough girls, the first boy was still special. Always special. Every girl can, they didn't say 30 men, they can still remember the first one. The ones in between, it gets a little cloudy. You know? Maybe a few here are more prominent. But the first one, every girl can remember. Because that's the nature. Is that. So then, because that's the thing, the girl's giving herself. So they can't get out of that principle. So therefore, they're giving themselves, but they're giving to all kinds of, they're just giving to anybody who will look. Like that, so they don't distinguish. They don't understand that creates very shallow relationships. So therefore, because they're out on the street marketed as a body, therefore the boys are going to approach them as a body, and then they can't understand why is it they don't deal with me emotionally? Because for women, the senses, emotions aren't distinguished. So therefore, they're catching the boy sensually, but they expect emotions to be there. But in men, the senses, the emotions, the intelligence are three separate entities that you can operate absolutely separate from the others.
Yeah.
Like that. Therefore, that's the strength of the men, you know, in leading, because then they can look at something absolutely without sentiment. So it's like, this should be done if we want to go back to Godhead. They can be fixed on it. Well, for the women, it's that we should do that. But at the same time, there's this consideration, and there's Uncle Mo, and you know, and this one, and that one, and what will they think, and so many things. So therefore, that's it. So when you put that knowledge that it is right, means the girl is properly trained, so she knows it's good, but there's the emotional weakness. Then with the unswerving stability of the husband, that can bring it across. Same time, it's the opposite. In the home, then the men are weak. So therefore, because of their separate, they may flip through those, but the women can work on all of that. So if they've decided that they're going to have a child at this time, if the husband decides he wants to have a child right now, then the women can, their intelligence still works, the man's doesn't. When the man comes lusty, the intelligence doesn't function, the woman still does. So therefore, they can just tell him, you know, chill out, go take a cold shower. So therefore, then, that's why the woman is said to be the fortress of the senses of the man. Same time as the man is, he's the guru. Like that. So he's Guru Pati, and she is the Dharma Patni. She's the embodiment of religion. Well, he's the embodiment of the guru, the leadership. So like that, then that combination is very, very good.
Maharaj, can I ask you about girls? We've seen some early betrothals work. We've seen other ones be a total disaster. We see it's a problem if the girls wait too long before they are attached to someone. You know, we've seen all that. And I know it's different, you know, obviously it's different with different, you know, young girls. And I've sought advice from senior devotees, and I'm just appreciating how much the depth of your understanding. So I'd like to ask you what your recommendation
is. The point is a girl becomes a woman at puberty. She's not a girl anymore. I mean, so was it, Britney Spears may have a song on based on I'm not a girl, I'm not a woman, but the fact is they think like women. They're not trained, they don't know in the contemporary society, but they think like women. So when they think the boy, they think of home, this, that. Boy's thinking of a good time, that's all. If he's a little more pure, it's just nice to be with girls. It's emotionally very enlivening. If he's not so good, he just thinks sensually. Like that. He doesn't think until much later about home, this, that. He doesn't become responsible till later. So the boys, they go from, it takes a long time. There's a gap before they become men. They go from boys, and then they go to punks, then they become men. Like that. But girls go from girls to women, just automatic, I mean, immediately. So the young marriage is good, but then you have to marry them someone who's the same, who's had the same experience, same purity. Except for a rare case, I would never recommend a second generation girl marrying a first generation boy, because that first generation boy has the experience that girls are sense objects. And while that second generation girl doesn't have that, to her, the intimate relationship with her husband is emotional. Like that. Therefore, when the husband just walks out, you know, stark naked and says, okay, then she freaks. So generally what happens is they'll switch into that, but then they go bad. They may leave that man and just go off, and then they become really bad. So it's not, unless the first generation is so pure that he hasn't dealt with girls, then it can work. you know, and they're very nice and all these things like that. So they have a different, so you have to match that emotional plate. Plus you have to see the nature's right. Mm-hmm. Like that. I've heard that some experiments done, I was told by someone that in New Vrindavan they did the thing of early marriages, but the administration on purpose matched them up badly because they wanted it to not work, because they wanted all their boys to stay brahmacharis and stay out on sankirtan. Like that. So it was actually planned that it wouldn't work. So you can't take that as an example that it didn't work. That's an example of if you don't match them properly, it won't work. Like that. So you have to look at the similarity very much. But the younger is good. But the thing is then the girl has to be mature enough to handle it. But in the modern environment, you know, it's not really legal and this and that. So you got to kind of put up with it. But if they have the support of the family, the support of the parents, then, and, you know, nice friends, like-minded, then generally they can kind of get through. It's rough for them, you know. It's emotionally rough, but they could get through, you know. But you have to see when they're mature enough. Because in the Vedas, they would start very early training them. So by the time they're 12, they can hold down a household, you know. It means when you read the stories of, you know, Draupadi Swayambar, you know, and Kunti and all that, they were like that, 12. They weren't. Draupadi wasn't older than that. Rukmini wasn't older than that.
Wow.
Like that. We think of them that they're old. That's the age. So, because they're women. But they've been trained how to be a woman. So when chastity is a mentality, mm-hmm. The point that chastity just means, you know, staying faithful to your own husband, and that's it. That's only one aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Chastity means an attitude of behavior, an interaction. Like that, how you will interact with men, like that, whether their father, their son, their wife, like the husband, like this. It's just what is the attitude in which you'll do that. It even goes to the whole society, how you'll deal with others, like that. So it's a whole mentality of behavior. So that can be taught early. And then, because it's there, then when they hit puberty, that other part, that will fall into place very easily. Because they've already, you already have 98% of it, and that place it just falls into place. So you can train them everything else through all the other aspects. Already train them, you know, how to behave and this and how to deal, you know. So there, you're taught how to deal with your father, your uncle, or with your brothers, or like this. You don't have to say how to deal with a husband. They know they're going to get married, and you say, well, it means in the future you're going to have to be able to do this, you know, like this, you know. It's like, so they see their mother's doing it, so then they got to do it. They don't know the details of dealing with man as husband. Then after that, then they can be told. Like that. So those things are told after, but everything else can be told before. Because they still have a father. You know, they still have this. So the principle is father is the, you know, archetype male that they know in their life. So how to deal with the male principle. It may be in the form of, they're doing it through the detail of father, but the principle is male. So then they learn that. Then you can just switch that detail to husband, to son. You know, they've already dealt with their younger brothers like that, so they know how to deal with basically the son. Because the older sister represents mother. So she deals with the younger brothers as the mother would. Same, the older brother deals with the younger brother and sister as the father would. Like that. So that's also taught in the children. It's not just the parents act according to parental ras. The children also do it. To those who are junior, you know, and those who are junior are taught to respect the siblings that are senior, as you would the mother, father. So it's a whole.
That makes the cause for strong Krishna conscious families, and
yeah.
Because to that in that family, the children learn how to deal with their husbands or wives like that too. But Mara, at one point, you see the boy comes into his own later. He goes to, you know.
He's earliest at 16, like yeah. That. But generally it's 16, the next main time is 24, the next time is 30.
Right. So is it a mistake to arrange a marriage with a girl come at puberty, so which that's what, 11, 12, 13, she's maturing as a woman. So is it a mistake to make, sometimes we make arrangements, well, okay, we're going to have these two betrothed, but sometimes they'll pick a boy that's, you know, 16, 17, 18 maybe.
It's
and he's
right.
Still changing, you know.
You have to see what the principle's behind, because yeah. the principles won't change. You know? His maturity of dealing with it will. But otherwise, you won't get. If the training's not there, you'll see it. Mm-hmm. You'll see all these flip-flops.
So if he's brought up properly, I mean,
you won't see it. That's the thing, is that what we're talking now, we're going to be able to apply purely to the third generation. The first generation can do their best. They can, because they're doing their best, they're going to create the, means the first generation, you know, forget the brahmachari training. They do what they can. They missed it. You know, they can get what they can like that. And some can do a good job of it and some do less of a good job of it. But they know it's the principle. Their children can be brought up that way. Therefore, their sons and daughters can be brought up in the proper method, though they don't have the pure attitude and example to give. But by that, then they have the foundation, which then the third generation actually gets the real thing. So when we're talking about all this social things that we're talking about third generation. But if first,
that's a proper statement, obviously.
Yeah. Because if you if the first generation values it, then they'll try to do the best they can to give it to the second, and then the second will imbibe that. Then, because that's it's them. It's not an accepted culture. It is their culture. Right? Then for them, it's more natural to give that very easily. They can give that very easily to their children. You know? So if that's seen as that three generations, because generally what happens, the first generation sees it doesn't work, throws it out. But it's not going to work fully for them anyway, because they weren't brahmacharis. You know, there's a good chance that their wife was not a maiden when they got married. So their parents didn't deal. They very good chance that the girl didn't have a good relationship with her father. The boy didn't have a good relationship with his parents. You know, they didn't have a good relationship with teachers or anyone that set examples for them. So then it is emotionally very weak. But by intelligence, one can bring that up and supplement that and make it as strong as you can get it. You're strong enough to work, you know, like that. So therefore, then, you know, but it gets to what you can, like that. So then it's understood the next generation. But a lot of devotees just throw it out. They said, devotees say, Varnashram doesn't work. But I didn't actually operate Varnashram. You know, like that. If you get in the back seat of the car and sit and go vroom, 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 and then you get out of the car and say, this car doesn't work. You know? Those who know the car know you didn't operate. So those who know Varnashram know that devotees didn't operate it. The husband, he's the authority in the house. Okay, he's the senior, the wife follows, and he's just an ogre with his wife. That's not Varnashram. You know? Like that. You don't need Varnashram for that. You go down to the docks, you can get people like that. You know, that's the natural standard, you know, thing. Like that. So you don't need to turn to Varnashram for that aberration. Like that. But because they've come from that, that's what they think it is. That's the problem. They think being in charge means like this, but it doesn't mean that. Like there's a mantra in the wedding where the husband's giving blessings to the wife. He says, be the ruler of your husband's father, the ruler of your husband's mother, the ruler of your husband's brothers, the ruler of your husband's sisters. Like that. So many people think, well, how is she the ruler? Because the man's supposed to be that, and another scene. Means ruling by emotions. She's such a nice girl, and she serves so nicely, automatically she gets their kindness, and so she rules them by her service. Right? So that's the thing, is the man rules the woman by his kindness, the woman rules the man by her service. So then, that way then it works. So that then you start, now we're talking Varnashram. But just the man's in charge. That's why I gave the parent example, because it's, you know, you'll get less, if it's the first time you've heard it, you'll get less reactions. But if I'm talking to people who have know the system, I generally give this example, because this is the one that hurts, right? Like that. People, devotees aren't realizing the second one, you know, that as parents, it hasn't worked. But the conjugal, that they feel, because conjugal is the thing of this world, and it's very much the focus of hippiedom, you know, that's their, you know, free love and all that kind of stuff. So when you have a society made out of hippies, then their focus very much is on this principle. Like that. you know, duties, and these aren't very strong. Well, you find modern people that contemporary people that you talk to and all that, and they're career people and this and that. They can understand much more their commitment, duty, these things. Like that, the hippie thing was like an absolute opposite. Sometimes devotees say, well, that was the perfect time, therefore we could work. No, Prabhupada came and saved the lowest. The hippies are the worst. Because there's no standards, everyone sets their own standards, everyone does whatever they want, it's just free sex, free this, free that. Everything's just screwed up. It's just, there's nothing there. There's no standards, nothing. While the present, they may be rough and materialistic, but they understand that I behave properly, I get the job. I keep behaving properly, I keep the job. You know, they understand these different things and that, you know, life stuff, you got to work, this and that. So they're actually, in certain ways, though, the manifestation of the culture, but their consciousness is better. Like all this new age stuff, is that even just, you know, like middle class, you know, older ladies, you know, that you would just figure, would, they're all into it. You know, like that. In London, I walked into this shop and asked him about something. And then the lady, you know, it was like, you know, kind of graying hair, you know, probably in her, I don't know, late 40s, 50s, early 50s, you know, kind of like very mature, you know, kind of like you could see kind of like a career, you know, woman like that. And, you know, seen a lot in life, that kind of thing. And then after I asked my question, she answered it, and she asked, you know, where I was going dressed so nicely, right? You know, we dressed like this. So I explained who we were, what we were doing, and that. Well, she understood Vedic and Indian. Then she immediately started talking about what was my opinion about, she was going to go to a seminar on that was from the Ayurveda, on eating according to your nature, you know, your doshas. So she immediately started talking about that and thought what I thought. Was it something valuable? Was it worth getting into or not? Or this or that? You know. Well, if you go back in the 60s and 70s, that kind of woman would never have talked this kind of stuff. So therefore, they're much more on the subtle level rather than the gross level. So it was like, you know, in the 40s there was some sense of duty. 50s they lost it, you know, the euphoria of after the war. And then the result was the 60s and early 70s. Like that. And then that didn't, I tried that for a little while, and now people said this is useless and they're coming out. I had second generation, our own kids in Australia. They were asking me, something I said, where is this guy? What's he doing? Oh, he's a hippie. And the kids thought it was so funny. They're thinking that they're the goofiest, weirdest people on the planet. This is devotee children, hippies. And then they kind of like reluctantly but kind of ask, you know, they were laughing, says, were you a hippie before you joined? It was kind of like one of those things. They just thought it was the weirdest thing in the universe, you know, like that. Absolutely weird-looking, absolutely useless people, right? They can't do anything. Social misfits. Absolutely, they just thought it was the weirdest thing. So I thought it was so funny. Is that, you know, before it was kind of like, oh, you're a hippie, so it was kind of like a considered a noble thing. And then you get into the present generation, so they just think it's such a write-off, such a weird thing. So, you know, like us, you know, your father used to wear a zoot suit or something, you know, it's like, you know, that was weird, you know, but it's like, you know, then there's, you were a hippie. Wow.
Full circle.
Huh?
Full circle.
That's all. Because the thing is, it doesn't work. I mean, there's a saying in the business field, what works is truth, you know? So, because the point is, it's but they're not taking it to the next step, that God created the creation. So, creation works in a certain way, and because it works, it's because it's close to what Krishna gave. Therefore, it's a kind of truth. But because they don't connect it to Krishna, they don't really see its depth of its truth. So, therefore, you get this pragmatic minimalist, because it works. They just find what works and just takes that because they're profit oriented. But the thing is in the Vedic culture it's the same thing. The Kshatriya will do what works, but he's administratively oriented. The Brahmin, what works in the way of disseminating knowledge like that. So they only do what works in those things. So that actually is called religion. Like that. So that's the religion of the Vaishya, is that pragmatic minimalism. You don't get the potatoes in the ground, you know, then you die. Like that. You know, they go in today, not when the temple administration says, no, we're busy now and everybody's got to go out on for this marathon now, and then after 2 weeks then we can give the devotees the help with the planning. And then the Vaishya just says, see you guys later, and walks off.
like that, because it goes in today. You know, the business deal. You do it today, you got it. Someone else will beat you to it. You lose it. Like that. So that's why administration doesn't do business. No, tell them what to do. Because they don't know business. Like that. That's why you see in our society any flourishing business is happening outside the temple. Because someone's an administrator, they figure they know everything. But it doesn't work. You talk to business people or farmers. It doesn't work. A farmer knows farming. Businessman knows business. And a smart administrator knows that. So when it comes to economics, they'll ask them for their advice. But it can't be outside of religion. That's the point. The business person will do anything to get money. Can do if they're not trained. But the kshatriya will only do things if it's in line with religion. Therefore, they keep the vaishyas in line. Religious-wise. That's why they're in the senior position. Not that it's any better. But religion has to be on top of economics. If there's no economics, there's no sense enjoyment. Therefore, the vaishyas are on top of the shudras. And you don't have religion unless you have the knowledge of it, and religion knowledge of the soul. Then you don't really know religion until you know the soul. That's why Arjuna went on the battlefield. He thought he knew religion. But he didn't. He was not going to fight. That's irreligious. So he has his whole philosophy. Krishna pointed out the spiritual. That's what needed to be added to his understanding of religion. Then it becomes saddharma, or eternal religion. Is you're doing your religion to please Krishna, because you're a servant of Krishna. So that's what the Gita is, making that bridge between Mahabharata, which is religion, and Bhagavatam, which is spiritual. So that's the bridge, the Gita. It teaches us how to get from the one to the other. Otherwise, same stories in both Mahabharata and Bhagavatam. But the angle of approach is very different. Because the one is to establish material religion. The other is to establish spiritual religion. Which means taking material religion and engaging in Krishna service. Like that. But the essential point is engaging in Krishna service, not the religion. But the religion is the best thing to offer. Like that. So that's the...
Thank you very much.